Good afternoon, good evening, good morning for some of you. Welcome to the 11th meeting for the CWG on naming-related functions. It is the 18th of December at 11 UTC, and I will quickly do a roll call based on the Adobe Connect room, but what we'll do for today is we'll just take participation from the Adobe Connect room, and then we'll...
We still hear you, Grace.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry, we'll fix the line. Is there anyone on the phone who's not in the Adobe Connect room? I've noted Olivier, but is there anyone else?
No.
Okay. All right, then I will note Olivier is present, and we'll continue in the Adobe Connect room. Niz, it's over to you, and I'll fix the beeping line.
Well, the beeping line has ended in my part, anyway.
Great. Okay.
Good. Okay. Well, welcome, everyone. This is Lisa Fu, and as one of the co-chairs of the CWG, I will chair this meeting. And we have a draft agenda, and we have actually... quite a lot to discuss today, and I think we will start with item 2, which is the status updates. And we have, of course, at the moment 5 subgroups with coordinators, but I think we will only have updates from subgroup 3, which is Greg, subgroup 4, which is Robert and Shiva, and subgroup 5, which is Cheryl. So I don't know, Greg, is Greg on the call?
I'm here.
You are there. Okay, thank you. Could you start and with an update, please?
Absolutely. RFP 3 had a call on Monday, and 2-hour call, and the bulk of the call was taken over with reviewing a structural analysis, which has been was previously distributed, a structural analysis of the MRT, and the group went through a good portion of that structural analysis or structural issues and answers document, and stopped pretty much at the point in the document after a considerable discussion of the composition of the MRT. There's another call of RFP 3 tomorrow at 1400, and obviously all are welcome to join. There's also been extensive discussion on the list of some of the key elements of the MRT. Structural analysis of the MRT is posted as a Google Doc so that it can be changed and commented on by everyone. At this point, I have to say the comments have been rather light. I think last time I checked, only 2 people had been into the document. I'm sure there's more to be said about the document than that, and I hope that will change. There's also a series of straw men in a matrix of the potential composition and balance of the MRT. I would encourage everyone, especially those who are involved in discussion of the composition of the MRT in emails, to express their view of how the MRT should be aligned by going and putting their view into a column as a composition model. And in general, there's a discussion of work plan and working method in the call as well and in an email. And well, the point is that we need to move the more of our work from the email list, to working in documents, since our output needs to be documents and not a series of emails. Working emails is good for working certain things out in extensive backs and forths, but not for getting an ultimate output and trying to extract nuggets of actual output from a long email chain can sometimes be difficult. Therefore, it's best for those who have the idea or where something needs to rest to try to bring that into the documents such as the MRT structural analysis, since many hands make light work, and the opposite. Let's make sure everyone's on mute. Finally, in terms of work going forward, I will be posting this morning, U.S. time, a CSC structural analysis document similar to the MRT one, as well as moving forward onto other elements similarly, and onto functional analysis or functional issues and answers type of document to delve into more detail, because exact functions that each of the groups or entities will be taking on. There is a reasonable amount of detail, or at least listing, in the proposal, so not a mystery, but definitely want to drill down on those, since structure and function are obviously interrelated. And that is what I've got to report back, and I'll throw it back to the chair.
Thank you, Greg. Any questions for Greg before we move on to subgroup group 4? Doesn't look like it. I just want to pick up on one thing you said, Greg, that I think is very important, and that is it's very good to have, of course, the list, the discussion on the list, but I think it's very important. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Okay. But there also need to be a discussion, or there also need to be worked on the document, so I really like to reinforce what you said regarding that, Greg. Was it anyone who wanted to question anything who were talking before? Nope. Okay. We move on to subgroup 4. I don't know, Robert or Shiva, are you there? I'm trying to look.
Hi, Lisa. I think Robert is there, but he's lost audio, so...
Oh.
He's going to come back in a minute.
Okay. We can have Cheryl then, and then go back to Robert when he's rejoined. Cheryl, are you ready to do...
I am happy to do so, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Cheryl Langdon, off the record here. Our RFP5 has met for the second time earlier in May today, and I will be putting into the chat just to remind everybody what the mandate is of RFP5, along with the primary landing page link for our wiki work. We've also discussed today at some length exactly how we're planning on drafting the form and structure of our text. Has been discussed to some extent. We're looking at a two-layer approach, recognising, of course, that what we need to do is act as a sanity checking exercise to ensure that the work of RFP 3 and 4 has met the five mandated criteria from NTIA, and to that extent we thought we'd take a high level tabular approach to ascertain and attest to what we believe is the yay or nay on each of those things, as well as take the opportunity for some text which will act in both an explanatory and in some cases probably contain some fodder for further discussion, particularly, for example, in the matter of the maintenance of security, stability, resiliency of the DNS. The point was raised in today's meeting, for example, that maintenance is all very good. We certainly don't want a deterioration, but we should also perhaps indicate that striving for continuous improvement, etc., is a good thing as well. So we're very much in the beginnings of our work. We're in the watch this space phase, and I'll also put into the chat in a moment the link to the wiki space, which will be our primary collaborative drafting space. All are welcome to comment and contribute to that space, and all are also welcome to join at our future calls as well as our list as participants. And just let Grace know if you are interested in contributing to RFP 5. The next meeting for us will actually be on the 30th of December. We choose not to meet on the UTC date of 24th, mainly because some of us in the South don't want to be without commit or want to be, sorry, not want to be, but do want to be without commitments on the 25th of December for various reasons. And so we'll be meeting on the 30th of December at 21:30 UTC. If you'd like to join the call, again, let Grace know, and you're more than welcome. And I think that's probably it from me for now, Lisa, and I'll just pop some more stuff into chat.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any questions for Cheryl? Nope, doesn't look like it. Okay, Robert, I see you're back and audio is okay. Could you give us a short update on RFP4, please?
Sure. We had a call on Tuesday for RFP on RFP4, where we I tried to structure the work a bit more and presented in summary. Approach to go through the tasks at hand, reviewed some of the key objectives that RFP4 needs to achieve, and presented three work streams that we could work through to try to complete the work of RFP4. Presenting it briefly, work stream one was to go through...
Excuse me, Robert, could you speak up a little bit because people are complaining it's too quiet.
Can you hear me now better?
Yes,
slightly.
Is that better? Yes, slightly better. All right, on the call that we had on Tuesday, we went through some of the key objectives that need to be met by RFP4 and presented three work streams to go through, key areas to go through to achieve the work. Number one was a review of the technical requirements to try to identify some of the key terms that we would like to agree on. Work stream number two was going through a presentation of the timeline, and work stream three was starting a conversation of some of the key risks that need to be reviewed in some of the testing. We identified some assistance with some of the work streams to go forward and decided to have a follow-up meeting this coming Tuesday again. There's also a conversation with Olivier and the ALAC in terms of some additional elements that could be added to their proposal that they're putting forward, specifically in regards to detailed timeline and looking at the ICANN technical requirements document and specific key terms that need to be developed. It was recognized during the call that there were a bit fewer set of people on the call The co-chair wasn't on the call, either of my other co-chair, and we decided to do some of the work online. Some of the text in regards to timeline and other things have been put on the RFP4 list, and later today I'll be putting up some of the text that was shared as a PDF on a wiki, and be suggesting some text to go forward. So that's RFP4. One issue that did come up that was felt to be a bit off topic but raised possibly for the co-chairs to deal with is do we need to, in light of some of the different news stories in regards to the inclusion of IANA-related language in the U.S. congressional budget, whether we're sticking on time or not. My comments on the call is that we should stick on time and then just get advice back from the chairs when that time is appropriate. So that's a very quick summary of the RFP4 call earlier this week.
Thank you, Robert. And, well, regarding if we should stick on time or not, for the moment, yes. I will bring...
Any questions or comments from others?
Nope, doesn't seem like. Okay.
Lisa, it's Olivier. Just to say, Robert did very well in summarizing what we've done, so nothing else to add. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. That was the status updates from the working groups or the subgroups, and I think we should move on to presentation and review of the work plan, and that is item 3 on the agenda. Well, the timing is that we have 30 days to get a final proposal out to our stakeholder communities, and we have the holidays coming up. And I don't know, Grace, while I'm talking, could you put up the work plan table? And we have the holidays coming up, and we still have work to do. There might be fewer meetings, but we are still counting on everyone to keep up with the current work on the CWG list and any sub-list you're participating to. But in order to give staff time to summarize the comments, we're now announcing a reading and review week, as we also have in the item heading. And that is from the 22nd of December to the 29th. And that will give staff some time to make this summary of the comments received. And we have, as you see, the comment period ends on the 22nd of December, and we have agreed that staff should summarize them all the time, but when they're completed, they'll give us a complete summary, and then there is a small group there is to prepare a draft analysis of the comments. And then it goes to the whole group for discussion on and analysis on the proposed changes. So this means that the further work will be in a balancing act of how to advance on the level of details with respect to working groups, RFP 3, 4, and 5, while we're at the same time waiting for the results of the public consultations. And we don't want to do a lot of work that will be invalidated by the results of our public consultation. But as you see, we have therefore the meeting on Tuesday, the 23rd, is cancelled. So it's not going to be there. The RFP 5 and RFP 3 will not have meetings on the 24th and 26th. So there'll be time to read the public comments. And the responses we receive from the public consultation will also shape our final proposal. And we have to identify and agree on the key results of the consultation. And we think that's to be done on the call we're having on Tuesday, December the 30th. So we hope as many as you can participate in this call, because there we will have the overview of the public comments. We will have a discussion on how to move forward according to what the public consultation analysis is telling us. So this is for the moment our work plan. I see Bertrand, you're raising your hand.
Yeah, thank you. Just a very quick question. Can you give us an update on how many comments have been posted so far on the public comments? I haven't checked recently.
So far, I don't think it's that many, but I know Bernie is on the call too, and I guess he's got the complete overview. Bernie?
Excuse me. Yes, ma'am. There have been about almost a dozen comments, but there's only about five that are legible, if you will, including the ALAC. And I send out a summary every day, sort of presenting what's there. So if we look right now, we're sitting at 11 comments. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And there are 6 that are garbled and don't really have any comments, any content. Over to you, man.
That was basically my feeling. I wonder how much information we can get from that, and it looks like most of the discussion is actually taking place in the CWT. Thanks for confirming. Thanks.
Thank you, Bertrand. I think a lot of comments will be received during this weekend, because normally you get them in the very end of a comment period. So.
Yeah, that was what was said by Milton earlier.
Okay. Yeah. Any other questions regarding our work plan? I see there's a question on the chat regarding the IANA 2 on Saturday. It's just that we're having 2 calls on that day, Saturday the 10th of January. That's the intensive work weekend. And the IANA 2 is just the second call on that day. Oh, any other questions for this? Okay, we will move on to item number 3, and that's to understand the principles of separability. And I would like to start with talking a little bit about the principles that we have created, and that's still a draft. And I noticed online that Elise is mentioning the comments from the GAC. And I can confirm that the co-chairs today received a letter with the comments from the GAC today at 10 o'clock. So we are not going to talk about these on this meeting. We just received them 2 hours before the call. But what I've agreed with Martin Boyle regarding the draft of the principle is that we will try to look at or to have comments online and try and solve these online until the 5th of January, and then we'll try and finalize them at the call on the 8th of January. So we're having some outstanding issues. It's not a whole lot. Of course, the GAG raises some questions or some issues that needs to be solved. But apart from that, I know that Alan Greenberg is supposed to get back with a footnote definition of capture, and then we are going to have the GAC incorporated in the draft too. And the GAC letter will be sent out for the list, so it will be shared with the list, the actual letter. So everyone can see it. It's not going to be secret. And we will try, after having read the comments, to send out a new version of the principles. And with this, I'd like to say that separability appears to be an issue on the list who's not supported by everyone as a principal, and that made the chairs feel a need to discuss this. If we have consensus on the principle of separability or not, because during the drafting of the principles, this has not been a real issue. So I'd like to have a short discussion and views upon separability as a principle, because it is in the draft of the principle and has not been really challenged during our drafting period. So any views on this issue, and that is separability as a principle for the proposal? I see Alan Greenberg. Alan?
I guess I'm obliged to say the ALAC is of a view that it is not, it should not be a principle. We've made that rather clear as we get along the way. I don't need to dominate this discussion saying that, but since you were asking, are there any comments, I felt obliged to remind the group.
Alan, why I'm asking, and you can reply to this, is that I might have not been really awake enough during our discussions about the principles, but I really haven't seen any opposition from the from ALAC of this principle in the draft we've been doing.
No, that is correct. It was quite clear that the majority of the CWG are supporting it. And I don't really want to sound, certainly I don't want to sound like a broken record bringing it up every time we've discussed the exact wording. I think we've made our position clear in a variety of documents that we believe that one can achieve the same net effect, that is making sure that we have a stable and reliable IANA without the principle of separability. I can certainly talk on and on at this point.
No, well, let's hear the others, and then
I'd like to come back, and I can go on.
Yes. Okay.
I'm not at my best. I'm only working my way through my first coffee at this point.
Okay.
But, I will go on if
No. We have a list, and you made a point. Okay, Bertrand.
Yeah, I would like to make a distinction here that maybe helps move a little bit forward. I think the principle of separability is a valid principle. It actually, as has been mentioned on the list several times, it is included in the current contract, and it has always been conceived by, I think, everyone, that in case there is an actual problem that is sufficiently major, there should be a possibility to make the management of the IANA functions done by somebody else, and we spent a lot of time thinking about how this could be done. So I think the problem that Alan probably implicitly alludes to, if I try to put words in his mouth, is not so much the principle of separability. I think a concern that a certain number of us have, and I certainly have personally, is that a lot of the discussion that we are conducting is actually articulated around how to make the separation, to the detriment of a lot of discussion on how to make the function reliable, secure, on an ongoing basis with the current operator. And I see the emergence of discussions within the group on accountability that actually go much towards strengthening the accountability of ICANN, and I see potential convergence there. So my only contribution on the principle of separability is that I do support the principle as an extreme remedy, and I think that we are focusing too much energy on the modalities for creating the separation as a almost a predetermined notion that it will be, it and will have to be done at one point, to the detriment of more focus on ongoing accountability mechanism that will ensure that we don't need to separate, and that actually the system that is in place today is functioning well and even better than it is. So I don't think it's a matter of principle. I think it's a matter of focus.
Okay, thank you, Bertrand. I think it's quite rewarding to have this discussion, because I think it's very important if we agree or not, as this is one of our core principles. But I see Malcolm is next. Malcolm Hattie.
Thank you. I see the principle of separability as being a core element or core principle underlying the proposal that has been made. The proposal that has been made envisages that an IANA functions contract will continue. There will be an external entity that will use that contract to define and impose requirements on the functions operator and to enforce them and to enforce corrective measures. That isn't the only model that we might, or that one might have considered workable. Maybe Alan thinks that that whole idea is unnecessary, and that this could have all been done internally within ICANN. But the proposal from the group is for a continuation of the contract with an external entity. Therefore, the principle of separability is really just simply recognizing that this is an external relationship, and it is that external body that is saying these are the requirements and these are the things you have to do in order to keep these contracts. And it is inherent and implicit in that, that if you don't, ultimately we can find someone who will. That is really not so much a core principle for the group as a core principle for this proposal. It is the route that this group has found to achieve the outcome that has been suggested. So if you say, I don't think separability need be a principle that's important, I don't think you're so much disagreeing with that as just being on a list of principles. You're actually disagreeing with the entire core of the proposal as it stands at the moment. And for that reason, I think that listing separability as one of the core principles is actually descriptive of what we have done.
Okay, thank you, Malcolm. And I see Alan Greenberg is back. Alan?
Thank you.
Obviously, your third coffee? Sorry.
I'm still on the first one, but I'll try to be closer to the... I'm not as erudite as the other speakers are at this very moment, but I'll try. I agree strongly with what Bertrand said. I disagree strongly with what Malcolm said. As a principle equivalent to, in the current contract, what is apparently a secret document saying, yes, there can be separability, but we're not going to tell you the details right now because it's so extreme and such a doomsday scenario that it's not part of the formal process or formal document and formal
persona of how IANA is run, yes, there should be level of separability at that level, and what the ALAC is talking about has such a separability. As a core thing that we build the whole proposal around, no. So, yes, we would accept it as something to keep in the back of the mind that there are doomsday scenarios which may require it, but it's not one of the core things that we build the whole proposal around. So I'll modify what I said originally, that it's not 100% opposition, but it's not one of the, it should not be one of the cornerstones of the proposal, or at least in our view. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And I see Milton is next. Milton?
Good morning, everyone. Am I audible?
Yes, yep. But you're a little loud, maybe.
Okay. So, I'm a bit confused now by what Bertrand and Alan are saying, because it seems to me that they are agreeing that separability is a principle that we should have. They are viewing it as an exceptional doomsday scenario, but they're saying it should be there. What they're not saying is how you actually get that without setting up the kind of structure that we have, in fact, set up. That is, if there is going to be separability, there has to be some kind of a contractual relationship between the IANA functions operator and somebody else. So if they have indeed accepted that principle, then I'm happy. It shows that we do have consensus on it, because the only opposition here to this is coming from ALAC, as far as I can tell, and that's a pretty small group when you consider the entire environment, which includes Internet service providers of the sort represented by Malcolm and the registry, the registrars, and so on. What I'd like to point out is that even though separability is presented to us as this kind of scary doomsday thing, both the numbers and the protocols communities consider it to be a very routine thing. And it's going to be built into the numbers proposal, and it already has been part of the IETF proposal. So, in fact, separability has been a part of the system from the beginning. And it's the scary thing for many of us is the idea of getting rid of it. What kind of a service or capability do we want to have that is never alterable, that can never be changed, that is locked in forever? How does one have accountability when you do not have the option to alter the contractor? You know, we went through this dialogue some time ago about how, you know, IANA has been run very well in the last 5 or 6 years by ICANN, and so somehow that means that we shouldn't have any capability to change it. But in fact, if indeed IANA is good, is doing a good job, then you continue the relationship on a contractual basis. It doesn't mean that you destroy the ability to change the operator if something goes wrong. And I think we overlook the degree to which our existing capability to change the operator has had far-reaching, if somewhat invisible, effects on the conduct of ICANN and on its accountability. So I agree with Bertrand. I'm happy to say that we can have a discussion about how to do it, but I think we really have to accept the principle of separability. I don't think there has been any coherent opposition to that. I think we're all a bit puzzled as to why certain people are putting up such a fight against the ability to have a contract. without putting anything in its place other than, you know, sort of trust ICANN and trust the accountability mechanisms that we haven't created yet. And, you know, rather than looking at the accountability process as something that solves the IANA problem, I think the separability in the IANA process actually dramatically simplifies the accountability group's work, because once you have that separability, you have a large measure of the accountability that you need. Thank you.
Thank you, Milton. And I see Alan Greenberg next.
Hey, thank you. One of the reasons, the easier way to describe this is that we object to the principle, is just because of some things that Milton said. He said, and I will not try to quote, but I think I've got it accurate, that the only way to achieve separability is to have a contract and a contracting entity. We do not believe that is the case. The linkage that he implied there, and that's been repeated time and time again, is exactly the reason that it's simpler to object to the principle, because that connection is implicitly made. If we hadn't arrived in the arcane position where ICANN is both the current operator of IANA and the setter of the policies regarding names, in many cases, we would be in a simple world like the IETF and the RIRs also. We're not. And we believe that one can achieve accountability without the arcane superstructure that we're talking about here. Yes, that is much more work for the accountability group. Yes, it would be much nicer if we had done that 2 years ago before we were having this discussion. And in some other dimension, we would have done it properly in the right order. We didn't. And we're trying to find a way forward to make all of this work without building up something that has a complexity and a level of a potential failure that we believe is not necessary. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And I see Sean next on the list. Sean?
Thank you. This is Sean. Am I audible enough?
Yes, you are, Sean.
Hello?
Yeah,
okay,
hello.
So, yeah, while I agree with what Alan has said about how I want to say how I view it also reflects how I view separability. However, I think going forward, I really suggest that we don't just write the word, work on the word separability alone, because it looks like it should be better we agree on what separability really implies. And the way I understand separability, especially in this context, is that there is clear separation, clear distinction between the policy process and the implementation. And those two things can be implemented in an organization. This is what can be implemented in an organization by a bylaw. And I agree that to what Martin says by saying that we have not witnessed such accountability yet. However, that does not justify the creation of a structure which we have not even practicalized and seen how it's going to look, it's going to work out. We have not even fleshed it out. And fleshing it out has shown that it's going to be something impossible to do. So, separability to me is the ability to be able to trigger for a mechanism to be able to trigger an action that will allow certain steps to be carried out. All those things can be done within. It's just like a typical. I don't like it that Nathan is comparing IRL community with the NIMS community. They're two different things. They're an entirely independent organization that has its own policy, has its own, everything is independent. And they're only asking for a service from ICANN. That is all they're asking. And so the only way they can implement that, they sign an agreement. So I strongly believe that we can make this less complicated and more efficient. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. And Bertrand is next in line.
Yeah, thank you. I've listened carefully to what the different comments have been made and looked at the chat room as well. I think there's a convergence here, or at least I feel, on a few points. One is that separability in the light sense, i.e. the possibility to separate, has been there from the onset by the virtue of the contracts. I think that's a point we all agree upon. The second point is that I think there is agreement that, or at least that nobody is arguing that we should have no potential for separability. I think Olivier mentioned it, and I think we should, if anybody is against that, I think it should be raised. But I think as a matter of fact, the fact that there could never be a separation, even if something were functioning completely wrong, is out of the minds of everyone. And I think it shouldn't be in the minds of anybody, personally. The next thing is, we haven't discussed so much the conditions for triggering what I usually call the nuclear option. And that would probably alleviate a certain number of concerns if we were to converge on the notion that it is an extreme solution. The next thing is that if I look at, for instance, the capacity, for instance, to remove the whole board of ICANN on the accountability general, having been inside, I'm convinced that this is not something that maintains accountability on a daily basis, because this is a relatively remote occurrence. And what we need is a functioning system on an ongoing basis. So to complement what I was saying before, if we were to devote a little bit more time to, one, clarifying the conditions under which we agree separability would be a necessary remedy, i.e. to highlight that it is an extreme situation and not a routine situation. Stability is important and even fundamental. So if we develop a little bit more time on the conditions under which, or the criteria that would trigger a separation, and if at the same time we were to feel, at least some of us, that there is a more general convergence or understanding that the goal is not to just ensure separability, but to start from the assumption that this organization has been created to fulfill this function, that it has developed a certain number of internal mechanisms to do it probably better, that a lot of automation can probably facilitate the daily functioning, the transparency, and the accountability. And if we were to feel that there is more an idea that the goal is to establish a stable system where ICANN will be doing this function and will have internal and potential appeal mechanism or external system to do this correctly, I think a lot of us would be more comfortable. What I was highlighting earlier in the feeling that there is a lot of focus on this remedy and not on the ongoing operations stance. And I would somehow agree with what Alain was saying. The link that is being made between accountability, separability, and the contract is probably one of the strong links that we need to agree or discuss more. Well, the principle is not so much at stake. I think the modus operandi and the mechanisms for ensuring that this organization functions the way it should is more the issue. And I agree with Milton, because I tried to listen. I agree with Milton that the fact that the NTIA was awarding the contract was a sort of pressure for general accountability. But in the relatively complex system that is being put in place, and especially the discussions on the MRT, which now revolve around the number of seats and so on, we may have something that is not easy to manage and doesn't have the sort of single decision-making power, for better or worse, that one single government had with all its might and authority and legal capacity in the national legislation. So we're...
Bertrand, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but we need to keep these interventions not this long. We have like 2 minutes, but okay. Are you please?
I was done.
Yeah. Are you done, or you want to say a last?
I told you I'm done. Yeah, I was actually done exactly when
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. But I'll just urge you to keep it to like 2 minutes. Thank you. And next is Chuck.
Thanks, Elisa. You know, it seems to me that Avery's hit it on the head in the chat, as much as I could keep up with the chat, that we're talking about principles here and not operational implementation. We need to deal with the operational implementation, of course. But as far as I can tell by discussions in the chat and what people have said in the oral comments, there doesn't seem to be a disagreement with the principle of separability, maybe with the wording of it. And Alain, you said yourself that your issue is really the issue that separability can only happen through a contract. And at the end of your draft comments that are out there right now, you recognize that in a doomsday scenario, it might be needed. And so, and of course, Milton raised this point earlier in his comments. So am I correct that there's not disagreement in the separability principle, even from the ALAC, from things I've heard today and seen in the chat, but rather how it might be implemented? I think we need to make a distinction there so that we can, as a full group, decide whether there really is support for a separability principle, even if it may only be used in a doomsday scenario. We would still have to have it in there because one of the situations we need to address is a doomsday scenario, however unlikely that may be. Am I correct that really we do have agreement on the separability principle?
Thank you, Chuck. I'll let Alain answer that, and then I'll get back to the list. Alain, you're...
Yes, I think Chuck is right, and I've agreed with Bertrand. If we can de-link the implicit statement that has been made time and time again, that if we accept the separability, then we are accepting the concept of the contract, yes, we can agree on separability.
Okay, thank you. I have Greg next, and Bertrand, you have to lower your hand, please.
Yeah, sorry.
Greg, are you on mute? Greg? Um, I can't hear anything from Greg. Avery, you lowered your hand. You don't. You did you want to have a comment or?
This is Avery. This is Avery. All I was going to say is, if we've agreed that we have the principle of separability, then I didn't have anything else. I do agree with those that, you know, it almost looks like on the other side, yes, we agree on the principle of separability, and if I can, you know, was other than it is, perhaps, you know. But in any case, the principle seems not to be a problem. It's just how we're implementing it. And I don't think there's ever a backward implicit that, you know, yes, there is a predominant view that there is only one way, but if another view is shown, I'm sure other people will discuss it. But the principle seems to be almost at a consensus point, I would hope. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. It looks like it. And I will close the queue and have Greg.
I think my comment.
Yes, you did. I saw. So go ahead, Greg.
Yes. Avery actually said a fair amount of what I was going to say, which is good. My feeling, having looked at the ALAC proposal, is that, you know, the issue is that they have not proposed a workable construct by which separability could be achieved. Having, you know, just said the MRT could require mandatory divestiture of IANA, that seems to require some sort of a deus ex machina, or at least a very different. As Avery said, and I can't, it is other than what it is, and no clear understanding that it could be anything so different from what it is that something like the MRT could require, that something like IANA actually be divested, and that requirement would be binding. There is some mention of binding arbitration, but there need to be two separate parties in an arbitration, and there needs to be a dispute, kind of a recognized dispute. So I'm not sure that, you know, they're saying, well, now we have this, but we'll throw it to a third party to decide. I think that kind of, you have to have the power in order for there to be an arbitration over whether that power can be used or not, which I think it kind of goes to the last point I'd make, which is I think it is important to consider criteria. They need to be flexible enough so that the MRT, as Matthew says in the chat, can decide, you know, how to apply them. I don't think it's an entire, you know, it's a mystery as to what separability would be used for. It would, you know, obviously we can try to make sure that it's not used for inappropriate ends, but I think the appropriate ends aren't too mysterious, which is some place where I can. The IANA function and how it's being operated has become so incompetent or so rogue or so unmanaged, and, you know, it's producing results that are, that constitute, you know, lack of performance or malperformance, and that hasn't been solved through any kind of escalation, which there is, you know, written into the key provisions of the contract require that there be an escalation. You don't go to the nuclear option first; you go to it last. And there are steps to be taken before that. So we can, it's a blank that can be filled in, but I don't think it's a mystery how to fill it in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Greg. And Sean, I actually closed the queue. I don't know if you have a very short comment, but I'd rather go on to the next item, because what I conclude from this, and I haven't heard otherwise, is that we're actually agreeing on separability as a principle. The problem is how to implement it. So I think we will move on to the next item, and I guess that will also give some discussion, and that's the alternative proposal. We also thought it was important that we could and should discuss the alternative proposal, that's item 5. And So we have this as a part of the agenda in order to give an overview of it. Well, hopefully by some of the people who are setting it forward from the ALAC. And we'd like to try and discuss and find out if a way to try and flush out some of the implication of this could be by some of the same tools that we use for the CWG proposal, and that's how we are trying to describe the implications in RFP4. But let's start with an overview of the proposal and then have a discussion. I don't know if anyone from the ALAC would like to go ahead. Alan?
Thank you very much. I'm not going to try to do an overview of the whole proposal. It's there's an 8-page document. People can read it. I do apologize. We don't have the size of team that is working on the contract version to be able to flesh everything out with the same level of specificity. But we felt it was important to present an overview of what we were talking about. The crux of our solution, and I understand it is completely unbelievable by some, is that the accountability CCWG will do something effective. If it doesn't, then, yes, our whole concept is down the drain. But I personally believe that in the long term, ICANN is down the drain if we don't do something effective, that it's time to stop preaching multi-stakeholderism and live it. If you can't accept that concept, then I yield. But I believe ICANN does need accountability. I believe ICANN is going to be willing to change, and that we can do something effective. So, yes, it's not fleshed out at the same level of detail. Much of the detail goes to the accountability group because it's now an internal IANA issue. Whereas from the perspective of the contract version, the details have to be presented because it's not we don't have another a third cross-community work looking at accountability of this extra entity. It's our job in this group, the CWG, to build that accountability into the proposal. In the other case, it is an ICANN accountability issue that has to be fleshed out. And I'm not going to propose that a small group here try to do the work of the 150-member CCWG at this point. I believe just the size of number of people in that group implies the belief that ICANN needs to change. And if this is the vehicle that helps it along, so be it. Now, I'll be glad to answer specific questions. I know some of the issues that have been raised, there are answers not well fleshed out at this point, and that's a matter of resources. But
Alan, there's
the
a question.
The concept is do it internal to ICANN and make sure ICANN works. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Alan. And I see a list of hands, and I'll call on you if there's a question for you on the list, right? So next in line is Greg, and I also saw a question in the chat. We'll get back to that. That's Milton asking for the separability mechanism in the proposal. But Greg, you first.
Thank you. A question I have for Alan and about the proposal is why they've thrown all of the responsibility for coming up with accountability measures to the CCWG. As I read the two charters, our group is chartered with dealing with accountability directly related to the operation of the IANA function and it's specified in that chart in the charter of the CCWG that is not in scope for their operation, but rather ours. So I think to the extent that that there is accountability that needs to be dealt with relating to IANA functions, that's our job. So I'm just wondering why we're having a difference, where that difference in how I view the charters and responsibility of the two groups differs from the ALACs. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. And Alan, there was this question about where is the separability mechanism in your alternative proposal. Do you want to answer that now?
I'll answer both of them now. I don't disagree with Greg at all. I don't believe that we are tossing the IANA internal operational accountability over. The proposal we're looking at has similar mechanisms to what the contract co does. There is an MRT, or we're also proposing another vehicle which might do the same thing. We're still talking about a CSC. That's not an issue. The issue is purely in what do we do when there's a major problem, and that's the equivalent of the contract co part of it. Yes, we're talking a lot to the accountability group, but it's the accountability of ICANN, not the accountability of IANA. And what was the second question?
That was Milton asking what's the separability mechanism.
The separability, should it become necessary, is divestiture. Companies divest themselves of divisions all the time, either willingly or by order to allow some merger to go through. It's not an uncommon concept. And again, if you accept that we can get some decent accountability in ICANN, and I believe that is the case, and many of us believe this is the case, many of us believe it's a necessary change in ICANN, then yes, the equivalent of an internal group has to be given, whether it's technically an internal group or an external group. That's at a level of law that I'm not in a position to comment on. Certainly a membership organization with the members ordering, doing the ordering is something that's a well-established process. And I don't, it's not something that we're in the position to flesh out, but there are viable alternatives. Which is the best one for ICANN, I'm not in the position to say, and I won't pretend to do the work of the accountability. But essentially, it's divestiture.
Thank you, Alan. I see Avery next. Greg, remember to lower.
Thank you.
Please.
Thank you. Avery speaking. So going back to what I'd mentioned before of, you know, ICANN becoming something than what it is, I certainly am one of those that believes that ICANN can become more accountable and can get really good at it. The problem is that it's a benevolent accountability. It's an accountability for so long as the board agrees to that accountability, but at any point can change. So I have every faith in the benevolence of our current board and in its ability to sustain a benevolent accountability. The concern is that it always relies on that. And when we say that the CCWG can make that ultimate change, which is to sort of, this is the thing that makes ICANN what it's not, is to have a board which maintains that it has the final say over any accountability changes, to change itself to where it no longer is that supreme decider. And yes, it is possible that things become other than what they were, but that's what it's almost like you're arguing, is that that's what we need to achieve. And so that's what concerns me with your solution, and I don't know what kind of mechanism can force a divestiture from inside. So that to me, but that, you know, I'm not a lawyer, so perhaps there are such mechanisms, but I don't know of how you sort of set that trigger bomb inside an organization that says, you know, there's some automatic, when this happens, we go, you know, divestiture, but perhaps there is. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. I have Sean next in line.
Okay, thank you. This is Sean.
I just posted something to respond to Greg, and just to reemphasize that I think we should wait in this working group should stop. We should see this group as one, and it will really help us if we are actually discussing solutions together. It's not appropriate to keep asking us something when we have not actually agreed that we should collectively look out for a solution for the thing. We have proposed that there are some elements within the ICANN as an organization and even as a community that needs to be reviewed. Things like the bylaw, things like the SO and AC, etc., to allow for the ability to trigger any necessary mechanism or whatever it is, whether it's or what to do, what to separate the function whenever required. I think it should be clear that one could include in the bylaw. I keep saying it. One could include in the bylaw instructions that happens, series of instructions that happens if X and X happen. So will happen, and we actually propose to still maintain CSC. For instance, we propose something that has to do that is similar to MRT, although the functions of that thing, that group, is going to be different from what MRT does. What is going to be doing mostly is going to be in relation to checking the implementation status. But I don't know what else would trigger if there's nobody that is reviewing it, reviewing what is happening. So you want to check the implementation status and see that something is wrong, that group initiates a community process that then determines how to move ahead if they want to move it. But we should both agree, we should all agree that to get to a point where it will be absolutely unavoidable than to move IANA will mean that we have not gotten any acceptance from the ICANN board, any sense of change from the ICANN board. We've not gotten any solution. Because our proposal is more of trying to look at a self-healing process. It is when we exhaust the self-healing process that we then initiate the trigger option, which can be incorporated in any organization's guidelines. The bylaw, for instance. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. And I'd like to remind you to keep it short. I gave you a little flag here, Sean, but please try to keep it to 2 minutes. Milton is next.
Yeah, so I'll try to keep it short. So I'm trying very hard to understand the ALAC proposal, and just as a starting comment, I should say that I hate organizational complexity. I hate bureaucracy with a passion. And so I would be very sympathetic to a simplified proposal, but what I see in the ALAC proposal, the so-called alternative proposal, is that we have in effect an equivalent of the MRT, we have a CSC, and then we have, instead of a contractual mechanism, we have a divestiture mechanism, which has to be embedded in the bylaws and based on membership. What I see is really a more complicated proposal, not a less complicated proposal. Now, again, I'm extremely sympathetic to membership, and I'm very happy to see that ALAC is moving in that direction as far as the accountability working group goes. But I've been thinking about membership and how it might work for about 15 years, and again, those are not going to be simple changes in terms of how it works, and there are all kinds of dangers and issues related to the implementation of membership. Again, if the accountability working group chooses to go that way, it would be fine, but if your main argument is about the complexity of the existing proposal, we have not moved forward with your alternative. Thank you.
Thank you, Milton. I have Oliver next, and I just want to mention that this was not to try and have a go on the alternative proposal. It's more that we'd like to discuss the proposal in general. So it's not to kind of make you responsible for it, Alan. I think it's more to try and find out what is this question, what is this proposal about? How can we find a way to try and make the best proposal that might have elements from both? Let's see where we can make it heading at. Thank you. Olivier?
Thanks very much, Lisa. It's Olivier Capanablanc speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hello? Okay, excellent. Thank you. I've sent this diagram over to Grace just a short while ago. Thanks for putting it up, Grace. I realized, looking at the proposal that we've sent out, that there were no diagrams that were in there. This is a working diagram that we're working on at the moment, and there might be some changes. But just to give you an idea of the I know there's been an enormous amount of discussion on separability and this real concern that if ICANN goes rogue and we don't have some kind of mechanism that would basically cut the links, then we have a problem. And effectively, I think that's well understood, and so I'm glad the discussion has moved in this direction. Just here, this is a diagram which is effectively pretty much the same sort of diagram as what was presented by the CWG. It's just moved things around a little bit. But what you can see here, and I think that in the proposal, the ALAC proposal, it did mention the IANA supporting organization, and it did mention something like an IANA resource organization, which here, because it's a working diagram, is still called independent IANA supporting organization. What we're looking at here is the same sort of system as the ASO Address Council and the ASO NRO on the other side. If the ASO NRO is able to function in the way that it has so far, then obviously it's because it's semi-independent from the ASO as such, and ASO has special status with regards to ICANN. If we created an IANA supporting organization with specific bylaws that would give it specific privileges over the board, and also had this degree of separability with this MOU between the IANA supporting organization and the independent IANA supporting organization that we can call the IANA resource organization, then that can have an MOU directly with the IANA functions operator. And just to close on this, since I want to try and stick to the two-minute limit, if we were to have an umbrella of the ISTAR organizations on the independent IANA supporting organization, I think that is one solution that would definitely be more stable than a contract code that would just stand by itself. And finally, you notice a little pink arrow that goes between the multi-stakeholder review team and the independent IANA supporting organization. It might well be that these two are either the same people or that there is a strong link between those two. That's something we're still working on at the moment. Grace, can we have a quick look at the second diagram for a second, and then you can see how the other direct operators, function operators, are linked to this. They're actually linked directly as it is at the moment. That's where they are at the moment. They have MOU'd with directly. I mean, they're looking at having an MOU directly with the IANA functions operator or some kind of link directly with the IANA functions operator. So what we'd be creating is effectively the same sort of organization as the ASO. And as I said, independent INSO point organizations sponsored by an umbrella of ISTAR organizations. That, of course, would include ICANN, but that's just one of the sponsoring organizations in there. And, of course, with us, the funding side starts becoming a little bit clearer. That's still a work in progress, by the way, so I don't want to take you as thinking, well, this is what we're set on, but that's the kind of thinking we have at the moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. We know it's work in progress, so we're not going to kill you in the details. But Chuck is next.
Thanks, Elisa, and thanks, Olivier. Chuck speaking. So a question for you, Olivier. By the way, I appreciate the diagrams and so forth. It sounds to me like you are considering proposing, not you personally, but the ALAC, that the GNSO and CNSO would almost be, if it's like the IETF and the RIRs and so forth, that they would be separate from ICANN, because that's one of the key differences between the ASO, the IETF, and whereas the GNSO and CCNSO are within ICANN. So are you going along that lines? Is the idea that the supporting organization would be outside of ICANN?
Yes, thanks very much, Chuck. It's Olivier speaking. I think that's, and I have to confirm this with my colleagues, but I think that's the kind of thing we're looking at. One of the problems with the GNSO and the CCNSO at the moment is that it does not have any ability to issue instructions outside of ICANN. So it wouldn't be able to make a decision and say, we're going to take the INF function and give it to someone else, or we're going to do something like this. Creating an INSO organization that has the ability to do this and that would have the same level of distance as the ASO, it might be a solution forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Did you want to have another comment? No, your hand is down. Bertrand is next.
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. You hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Just a very quick comment. It's interesting that in the slide here, the NRO is being mentioned, but we do have this distinction between the NRO and the ASO. We know that it is more or less this, and that the ASO is just a sort of cap. But I'm wondering whether, without going to the whole argument that Olivier was mentioning of potentially putting the GNSO or the CCNSO out, actually the equivalent of the NRO is not the GNSO or the CCNSO. It is in some way the stakeholder groups. It is the G group. It is the group of the CCs. And without putting the SOs outside of ICANN, maybe there could be a supporting organization that would be a structure for the purpose of the INA function that would group those RIRs, the IETF, and the registries and registrars and have a specific function. Just an idea. In ICANN, there's a distinction between the NRO and the ASO, as far as I understand.
Thank you, Bertrand. And next is Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I will take issue with something Olivier said, that I don't think we're moving towards taking all of the SOs and moving them out of ICANN. That might solve, if that were the case, that would solve the particular problem we're having today, but that is a very different ICANN in terms of operational, how it would operate, and I don't think we're trying to achieve that overnight. That's why the alternative to the MRT suggested the equivalent of the ASO and the NRO in working in parallel, and with essentially one part within ICANN, one part outside of ICANN, which might address some of the issues we have about an internal part of the operation directing the ICANN board. that's something we're still talking about. As I said in the chat, I don't think we are particularly wedded, and we're not claiming we have come up with the only solution that and all of the details correct. The core issue is that we believe there should be an answer and a way to approach this without having the external contracting entity, which certainly in our minds has a whole set of complexities in it. And I know some people say they're not complex. Maybe I'm using the wrong word. But a whole set of issues associated with it, which we believe are avoidable. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. And I'd like to stress this is not a this is not a test of the proposal. This is an attempt to try and find out do we have anything we can try and try. What are the good parts? What are the less more difficult parts in any of the proposals? So I this is an attempt to give it a chance and not just to, you know, put it away. So please take the session in that spirit. And I see Sean is next.
Okay, thank you. This is Sean. Thank you very much for that comment. I think that's one of the things I wanted to repeat. Of course, this structure came up quite a number of previous days ago, and we also have identified that there are some things that we need to improve on. There are some structures that actually may not necessarily be necessary to be part of it, and there are some. So yes, it's not finished. It's not something that is full. And I would propose or suggest that we get suggestions. We then recognize that there can be recognize this as a that there can be a possible internal solution, and then give us some time, even if it is 2 days or 3 days, to perhaps send in a revised version, which you can also provide comments on, or what you think can work, and we can make progress. What we have right now is just something that was good, that was done, but we can always change it. The main thing is that it's an internal to ICANN solution. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Anyway, the comment period is open for until the 22nd. So for sending in more information, you're very welcome. But anyway, is there any other questions or remarks for this proposal? Sean, your hand is still up, but I guess that's an old hand. And I don't see any other. I briefly talked about trying to analyze this according to RFP4. Any comments regarding maybe trying to use RFP4 as a tool to kind of like we do on the other proposal? Don't see any responses to that. A lot of people are typing, but it might be on other issues. I don't know. ALAC, you're not the... Is that Olivier or Alan or anyone else representing ALAC? What do you think of the thought of trying to use RFP4 to your proposal? Alan?
I haven't had the time to focus on RFP4, so I certainly haven't put any time into it. I will work wherever it makes sense to try to flesh out something. As I said, this is a work in progress, and people are making proposals some of which are outrageous, but that's what I think. And, you know, if that's a vehicle to go forward on, sure.
It's just a way, it's just a tool that we're using, and it's the analysis of the implication of the proposal. So this could be used in a way to try and flesh out whether the pros and cons of both proposals. So Olivier, you are having your hand up. What do you?
Yes, thanks very much, Louise. It's Olivier. Lisa, it's Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. Just a quick one on RFP4. I have been attending the calls and have shown some of the concerns, threats, and potential mitigation efforts to be able to deal with the CWG's effort, not related to the proposal that we've just seen on screen here. That's all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I see Alan Greenberg again. Alan?
Yep. Thank you. And I'm just commenting on some of the comments in the chat. For better or worse, the core CWG proposal has gone down the path it did. If different things had happened at different times, that may not have been the case. All that those of us who are pushing this radical idea are trying to do is saying it would be useful to have the group look at alternatives that do not presume a contract co. And anything we can do, whether it's through RFP4 or through some other mechanism, that can I try to identify a mechanism that will work without the external contracting entity, that's exactly what we're looking for. We're certainly willing to look at that, and as seen by some of the comments we've made of should we be moving an SO outside of the organization? Well, I think that changes ICANN completely, and I don't even think we should contemplate it. But it's fair game to have someone mention it if that's the vehicle which might solve the problem. It's not one I happen to support, but it's fair game to talk about. But it's really a matter of can we come up with something? And there's a lot of bright minds around, so sure, I'd like to see other people involved in testing the overall concept. And if RFP4 can help do that, then so be it.
Okay. I don't see any more hands, and I don't see any more on the chat. At the moment, I hear a lot of support, and I don't hear a lot of opposition against trying to have RFP4 approach tested on the ALAC proposal. But so I think I'll discuss it with my co-chair and the coordinators, and we'll get back on this issue. So I don't know if anyone else has any questions or remarks regarding item 5, which is the alternative proposal. Not really. Then I think I would like to have two hands coming up. I see Bertrand. You're first.
Yeah, actually, it might be just a concluding comment. I just wanted to highlight that in the chat there was an interesting exchange when we discussed earlier on the issue of separability on an apparent beginning of convergence on the idea that there should be clear criteria established beforehand for exercising separability by an MRT or any other body, and that this MRT should not have complete free rein on defining the rules. I think I didn't see that reflected in the notes, and I think it would be good to go back to the to the chat to see this this exchange, because there seem to be an agreement there emerging. Just wanted it not to be lost. And by the way, I have apparently lost in the chat the beginning of the chat, and I don't know if it's normal or if it's just on my side. Thanks.
Well, thank thank you for your remark on the clear criteria on separability. I hope it's noted by staff. And regarding the other one, losing the first part of the chat, I don't know. It should be saved, all of it, as far as I know. I see Avery, you're next on the list.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Avery speaking. Just a quick comment to support your idea of doing a RFP for analysis of the idea. I think that's, you know, a really good thing to do, and especially if there are a group of people that have been thinking through all of those things, I think to be able to put it in the boxes and see how it works, and you know, I'm willing to sort of participate in that to the effect of reading it and asking questions about what's being proposed. So I think it's a good way to proceed on it. Thanks.
Thank you, Avery. And I heard you volunteering for helping out doing this. I think that's very good, too. Someone got lost again. We have the beeping toe. Okay.
My apologies, Steve. We're in the process of fixing that as well.
Yes, that's fine. We'll just give a thank you. It stopped. Nice. Okay, so maybe we should try and have RFP4 to approach the ALEC proposal. Avery, who is a part of RFP4 group too, is also being there. So, Milton, you raised your hand. Yeah. Milton, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't agree with Avery that we should be spending time. I think we have a real proposal to deal with, and I'm a little bit concerned about the way in which our dialogue in a very short period of time has kind of been opted or hijacked to some extent by a proposal that, first of all, doesn't have that much support, broad support. Secondly, it's not really solving the problems that the group that supports it had with the existing proposal. And I just wonder if five people that I know get together and we come up with an alternate proposal and start agitating for it on the list, are we going to give it the same kind of treatment that this proposal has gotten, that we're going to devote an hour of our meeting to it, that we're going to run it through the RFP 4 and 5 process just to see if it works? I think, you know, we needed to hear this proposal and we needed to consider its different approach to separability, but I would be very concerned about any moves that would make this into kind of a quasi-official proposal coming out of this group. I don't think it has the support, and I do think we have a lot of work to do on the real proposal.
Thank you, Milton, for your view. I don't disagree with your concern, but it's not that I don't find that the proposal is hijacking the process. It's been there the whole time, and actually, I think it could be a good idea to have a look at the original proposal and try and test it towards another proposal that has where we seem to differ is mostly the contract co, as far as I know. I'm not sure if that's the actual thing, but in trying to stress test our proposal by doing an RFP4 on it, it's not that it's going to be a complete test of it all, because it is a way to try and see what is there anything on the original proposal that might be lacking or has a flaw or whatever. So I'm not so afraid of doing those tests, and I'm not afraid that it's hijacking anything, but I don't know if others are worried the same way. See, Sean? John?
Lisa, this is Grace. It's possible
yeah.
that Sean doesn't have audio right now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so we'll go on to Olivier.
Thanks very much, Lisa. It's Olivier Crapin-Leblanc speaking. And, the proposal here is one of the chartering organizations of this CWG. So if the GNSO decides to have another proposal, I'm sure that would be considered in the same way. And I would hope that all of the input from the chartering organizations would be considered in that way and not just as a comment from the public comment process. I mean, this work ultimately has to be agreed on by everyone, and there needs to be a fair level of support across ICANN. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. Sean, are you happy?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I have what you know. Okay. Yeah, thank you very much. So I picked on Milton before I lost audio, and I like to get that clear. There is nothing like a real proposal right now. All the proposals that we have right now are just attempts. They are all proposals. That's what they are. One is not more superior than the other. So I would, as far as ALAC proposal is concerned, I really suggest that GCWG think along with us. The main idea is that we want an internal to ICANN solution. And please think along with us. If you have suggestions on what we think we can do to improve it, please let us know. And we incorporate it. We can always. We are also improving on the CWG proposal too. That's the one that is all for comment. I do make comments, and so it's a collective thing. That's just the main thing. Please, Milton. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Okay, I see a lot of comments on the chat. Any other comments? I see Robert here.
Sure, let me just make a comment that I made in the chat as well, too. As you had mentioned earlier in the conversation, we're going to get likely a considerable amount of public comments over the next few days. Let's also try to see what those comments say in regards to the proposal, whether they support it, whether they want to go down a new path, and so before we focus everything on one of the diverging proposals that we're seeing here, let's also make sure to not start dedicating a lot of time, energy, and resources before we see the public comments. And so, I think that's something to factor in, and how to best do that, I'll leave for the group to discuss.
I think that's a very good idea, Robert. And it's Thursday today, and we're getting all the proposal or all the comments on Monday at latest. So let's give it a break. But I still think it's good to look at alternatives and have that in mind when we're working with the proposal too. But anyway. Any other remarks or question on this issue? Sean, is that an old hand, or you want to say something? Okay. And I see Avery saying, I see this as an act of due diligence. Yeah. yeah. Okay. I agree. We'll see after the comments, and it's RFP4 who's working with this, and anyway, I would propose that RFP 4 is looking at just trying to make comparisons in whatever they do anyway. So any other questions or remarks on this issue, issue number 5, the alternative proposal? No, I don't see any. Then it's 13 minutes before the hour, and I think we'd like to do a review of the action items. Grace or Marika, can you do one of those?
This is Marika. The main action item I've captured here is that everyone is encouraged to provide input to the latest version of the MRT structural analysis, and the link has been included. Also to look out for the CSC structural analysis that will come out shortly. And I guess then one other note would be for everyone to take a look at public comments that are being received and start reading through those. So when the analysis comes out, people are able to provide inputs on that. And that's all I had noted.
I have two more. It's more for staff and or the chairs, and that is we are to send out the GAC letter. I don't know if that's been done. And the GAC letter with the comments for the principals. And I also urge everyone to make comments on the 22nd of December for the proposal, even though they've been actively participating on the list, because the more written comments we get, the better. I know there are a lot of CCTLDs out there that could make comments, and of course all the chartering organizations too. So please make comments, and also it would be very nice if people are participating on our December 30th call, because that's going to be a call where we're deciding on the way forward according to the comments. And so now we're at any other business. Is anyone having any other business they'd like us to discuss? Don't see any hands. Other? Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for participating, and have a nice evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are in the world, and nice holidays. Thank you. Bye.